Okay, you guys. Thank you. We're going. Good. Yeah.
The night after it blew, she was showing the people the picture. But I couldn't really ask them. We were at dinner before Coach was going.
Yeah.
There were orbs. She's taking a lot of other pictures, but in those two pictures, she could hear there were orbs.
I love it. Our halo showed up in New Age pictures of us last time, guys. Just so you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That is cool.
You have the picture?
No. She was just telling me.
There was camera, and she was showing people after we left here and got to dinner. All the pictures, and in those two pictures that she took here, they were orbs. But not many of the writers. People were taking the same day.
Oh, that is too cool.
I love it. Okay.
Let's go.
So, couple of biggies, and then whatever questions you have here. First one we're going to do is we're going to do figure eights. And we've done figure eights in Touch for Health. And I want to just review the figure eights is Tibetan healing, basically, is what it comes out of. But the figure eights, you know, is that infinity sign. And the way I always visualize the figure eights is like it's like weaving or darning a hole in a sock to patch it up, okay? So we're like weaving around and around here to patch up this hole in the energy field. So what happens is whenever we have any kind of an injury or a stress physically, could be mentally as well, but I'm just going to stay on a physical level for the moment here, it also damages or injures our spiritual bodies. So you're not. It's not just the physical. It's the aura. Since we're talking about auras and halos and all that kind of good stuff, that gets changed as well. So remember, the theory is that we can work on healing physically, but the auric body, that energy field around the body, is actually the energetic blueprint for rebuilding the body. So if that auric field is distorted in some way, it gives a distorted rebuilding picture, and therefore we do not heal entirely. So that's why the figure eight helps to clean up or patch up those damaged areas of our auric field. In Touch for Health, you've got a picture in the book that shows there are big figure eights on the sections of the body, the head, the torso, and the legs, on the front, the side, and the back there, that are for each of the meridians. So you've got three sections, you've got four sides, that's 12 at the top of the head, the soles of the feet are the central and governing, and so that's the 14 meridians. So you can do figure eights for those. I didn't focus on that as much in Touch for Health as I just focused on the whole concept of figure eights, which is doing figure eights for some area in the body, you know, that has aches or pains or hurts or injuries. So does anybody have any kind of like a surgery or any kind of a limited range of motion, shoulder stuff, things like that? What do you have cooking?
Plantar fascia.
Huh?
Plantar fascia. I probably pronounce it.
Okay. And what do you have?
I have an older surgery that's right here, but
okay,
it's affecting my back and
okay,
my digestion.
All right. So let's do this. We'll do them both to give you two examples here. Okay. So, where do you have the pain and stuff?
On my heel, primarily.
Okay, on the back, on the bottom?
Bottom.
Okay. So, with figure eight, what you're going to do is, remember our wonderful fuzzy glove technique. So, first thing you do is just metaphorically put on your fuzzy glove. Okay? And that's your little polishing cloth, if you will, because what we're going to do to detect if there's any disturbance is going to use that to what we call fuzzy glove the area to see if it disturbs the energy field. Now, of course, if I just do this, it's going to disturb my energy field for about a hundredth of a second, maybe. But if the energy field has already got some boo-boos in it, and I do this and muscle test, it'll blow it out. And that's how I know I've got the right area or I've got something that's affected by figure eights. Not everything is, by the way. Just because it hurts, just because of the limited range of motion, just because it was a surgery, just because it isn't always a problem that can be addressed. with the energy body. Okay? So, let me find. What do I want? I want you. Phil's not sitting in his chair. You sit over there for a minute.
Graham, I'm going to switch out. I just want a chair and I can sit on it. But I need to get your foot. All
right. So, right foot, I take it.
Yeah.
The shoe that came off first. Okay, the last one you can. Okay. So, down in here probably, right? Right. I don't care which way I do my fuzzy glove. It's fuzzy all the way around. See, so you do whatever is easiest. Oh, I need a muscle test first. So, let me start. I got it. Boy, Robert, the thing, you gotta remember to hold this right here. Okay,
great.
So that's good. So now let me have this, and you just keep your arm ready for me. That's all good. So I fuzzy glove, I come right back, and I muscle test, and the body says, yeah, something there, okay? So now I have to find out what direction, because on this area, I could have, we look at X's, but you know, if you have an X this way, you get a figure eight that gets the X, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can see that? I got my X. I can connect all of that with a figure eight. I just round the top, okay? So I've got energy directions. The problem is, you know, you got 360 degrees in a circle, so you got 180 of these lines. If I only took 1 degree in a line, it could be out of balance. It could be any of these energy flows that's out. So what I want to do is I want to find out what's the direction that has stress. What's the energy direction that's open or not healed or disturbed? And so I do that, still with my fuzzy glove, but I'm more precise now. So I just zip down that way. Oh, I have to do this like this. Okay, that's good. Zip down that way, and that's not strong. Okay, got lucky. So it's going down that way that's not strong.
Is it directional to up or down?
Yeah, it is. Because it's going that way is the weak direction.
Right.
And to do your figure eight, you trace it opposite the weak direction. Opposite the weak direction.
Meaning you start the figure eight in the opposite, going up.
That's
even
right.
If it's down,
so
you start
this
up.
Way, you start a figure eight.
That's
right.
It. And that's
okay.
What I'm doing. So hers was down that way. I'm starting my figure eight like this.
Okay.
And on the same X, you could do either a figure eight or an infinity symbol, but does it not matter since the X is the same direction either way?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, because the main thing is you're doing it in the opposite direction of the weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You only find
the
one
X.
One direction.
Only one weak direction, not an X.
To start.
It gives you an X.
It gives you an X. So that one weak direction, then I make my figure eight to based on that. Okay,
oh, yeah.
So hang on to that for a minute. Sorry, we do that, but I'll zip that again. And that's now strong, and I didn't get the emotion. I should have done that, but that's okay. Now, I can do fuzzy glove again on exactly the same area, because there may be, there's not, but there may be a different direction. So sometimes I have a direction that goes here, and then I have another direction that goes here, and then I have a direction that goes here. And so I can maybe find two or three different directions in it, but hers is one direction.
Because it tested strong after you cleaned that
right.
One time.
So I checked that direction, it was strong, I fuzzy gloved it again, it stayed strong. So that's it for that, okay? Now I want to move on. So that's as far as I think we got in Touch for Health. I don't think we talked about layers, but if we did, I'm going to review it for you. Okay.
Right.
But now I want to move on to layers, because there are lots of layers, not only of the energy bodies, but there are lots of layers of our physiology as well. Okay, there's the skin, there's the subcutaneous levels, there's the, you know, there's the muscle, there's the tendons, you know, da 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 da. So any of these areas could be affected. And so what I'm doing now is I'm going to make a simple statement. There is another level that needs to be cleared, and I'm going to muscle test. Our body says, yes, there is. Now, if the body said no, then I know that's it. We're done. Okay?
Yeah.
But body says yes. So the second statement is, go to that level. Okay? And that's just a command. And she doesn't have to do anything. I'm just basically saying that's where we're headed. Okay?
Well, did you muscle test her when you said that?
I didn't need to. I had her arm up, but I didn't need to do it.
You just said go to that level.
Yeah, because what I was going to do is usually I don't have to hold the foot up and do the test, so I have an arm on there. So I don't have to jump back and forth. But now I'm fuzzy gloving. She's obeyed my command to go to that level. So I'm just fuzzy gloving, and I test it again here, and yes, in fact, there's something there. So I do the same old routine. That's okay, just keep that rib point if you will. Okay?
So then you're doing the same thing.
Same thing. Good. There it is, right there. Okay. So it goes that way across there. And so I go opposite the weak direction. Also, I'm doing this left-handed. Sometimes I like to really whip these little figure eights out of here, but hello. Come on, Robert. You can do this. No, tedious. But I'm not whippy-zippy with my left hand.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. All right. So, keep that up there for me for just a second. That way. That's strong. Fuzzy glove again. Stay strong. I make the statement there is another level. It needs to be cleared for this.
Yeah.
No. All right. So we are done with it. Yes, we are. Everything except getting the emotions, and I apologize. But okay. So, and you can do this for yourself, by the way. It just gets tricky. It'll be hard for you. Oh, it's actually not hard for you. It's easier for you to do your own figure eights, actually, than it is for me to do them on there. Graham asked about setting up the table, and I said, no, we don't do that. But so you can do your own figure eights. You can fuzzy glove. You can test yourself wherever it is, okay? And just add to all of this now, there is another level that needs to be cleared. Test that. If the body says yes, then you say go to that level, and then you just start your fuzzy glove, and you go through the process.
And you said you don't test on go to that level.
No, you don't test on go to that level. It's just a command, and I just assume that it's being honored. And you'll know because you'll fuzzy glove, and if it's still strong, they either didn't go to that level or there wasn't another level.
But if you did test it, then you would probably go weak because it's at that level where there is a weakness.
Now, that's interesting. It might, yeah. That's why it's ambiguous to test it, because how do I know if it's done it?
Well, yes, that's what I would do. That's what I did. I did that once when I was balancing Lacey, and we did some other things, and she wanted a regular 14 muscle balance also.
Yeah.
So I just sort of said, okay, like there's something else we can clear with a 14 muscle balance, and said yes, and I said, okay, like go to whatever that is. And went weak, and then we just
Yeah, that's good. So yes, if you're scanning for an area of stress, when you hit it, it'll be stressed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. So probably, but I don't on this particular one. It's just a command: go to that level, and then they'll do it. So that works. Okay. So thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Trade chairs. Now, Janet, come on up.
It's right here.
Okay.
Probably laying down would or standing.
Standing is what we're going to do.
Okay.
And I'm going to come around kind of this way a little bit. Okay. So let me have this arm here. That's good. All right. So, fuzzy glove. Well, I'll know if it's okay.
Okay.
Because if it doesn't fuzzy glove, then it's not going to be something we're going to do. Okay? If it does, then it can benefit from that. You understand?
Right.
So it's,
right,
yeah, it's
right,
implied
right.
there. Now, we have an interesting thing, so I'm going to give you two other pieces. I'll give you a little homework, okay? There's a technique that you can look up in the book called scar reintegration. You can sit down for a minute if you want.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking of writing down.
Yeah, I was going to have you.
I can write it down.
I don't need you for just a minute while I just tell us.
Okay.
Because this just brings up another area, so instead of, I'll just do it this way so she can write this down right now. So she's got a scar that's cut there, okay? An actual incision. That cuts across, by the way, lots of different things. Mainly, it cuts right straight across the central meridian, okay? But there are several other meridians that go right down through there, depending on how far it actually goes. So, scar reintegration, you can look that up in the book. There are several little pieces of that. But one of the pieces of that is to actually circuit locate, which means two fingers neutral, touch, along the areas of the scar, so you find an area that's stressed. Then you can either do a figure eight clearing right there on that particular area, or, by the way, what you can do is you can get the emotion, but you literally stretch that scar. This is for a well-healed scar.
Yeah.
You stretch it as if you were opening it up again. And you do that maybe with a little stress release if you need to do that, because some people
that's
do, by the way.
Wild.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you get the emotion, and then you open that scar, like you're opening that scar, which of course re-stimulates, but then erases all the stress that was related to that, and the body then wakes up and then kind of reintegrates the energy. Then you circuit locate again, should be clear, and then keep moving along and do that with each of the points along the scar.
You know,
okay?
It's interesting you say open, because if I'm when I'm doing the muscle points and I do the bladder,
mm-hmm.
the along the
oh yeah,
people
going,
yeah,
the
top
yeah,
of the there,
yeah.
I'm in essence stretching the scar
yeah,
area,
yeah,
and I noticed that it helps.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
And in fact, what you need to do is get an emotion on each spot, and you need to actually do open that scar from top and bottom, like put your fingers right there in the middle, like
yeah.
you're trying to literally pull it open. And I don't mean hard or forcefully,
okay.
but I mean
get an emotion just where there's some.
Just on that, yeah, wherever they have the stress,
okay.
get the emotion. So every spot along there, you may have a dozen spots or 20 spots. Each one will have its own emotion.
Okay.
So you're going to stress release while you open that, and you can do it with two fingers to push
yeah.
it open like that, okay? So you want to de-stress that
okay.
while you...
So you're opening and
de-stressing.
And just holding it.
Yeah.
So you can kind of do it at the same time.
That's exactly right. You can do it at the same time. Yep.
Like
yeah,
yeah,
you can use your fingers
yeah.
to kind of push it open. But what you want to do is you want to re-stimulate the event, which is the cutting open, the opening of the body. You want to re-stimulate that, de-stress it, bring it into present time so the body can then heal all of those patterns there, okay? And that only works for well-healed scars, of course, because otherwise you will open it, okay?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's just an extra little piece that's really, really helpful. But emotions on every little spot of the scar there, okay? The other piece of that then is, once you've done all of that, and I don't care which order you do it, and you can muscle test and find out, then you do the scar reintegration, I mean the figure eight.
Okay.
On that.
Do you want me to get up?
So now you can come on up. So this is
the
same as what we just
done the scar work. So you do scar work first.
Yeah, I would do scar work first,
okay.
and then I would do this.
Okay.
I do the reintegration first, and then I would do this.
Okay.
But you can muscle test to find out which if you want and all of that, as long as you do them.
Okay.
Do them both. If you've got a scar, actually, I would do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I fuzzy gloved here,
mm-hmm.
and we definitely have some stress. So now I have an interesting phenomenon, because I can actually work areas of the scar with my fuzzy glove, just like I talked about finding areas to work with the scar reintegration, okay? Or I could just do the whole scar, okay? And I'm going to choose to work areas, because it's pretty much straight across, right?
Okay, yeah, it goes like from here to there.
Yeah, all right. So I'm just working a little area here, which is fine. Working a little area here, which is not, okay? So I'm going to turn you again here. So I just was doing
yeah,
a little bit here. A little bit here, which is stress,
yeah.
so I'm just down, up. So it's that way, right there. So it's kind of that direction,
uh-huh.
right there, okay? So I'm going opposite the weak direction. Come back, and I test it on the weak direction, which is strong. So I'm going to keep going along. Got another one here. That way, so great. Come on, Robert, you can do it. There you go. Good job. Hey.
Got it going on, man.
Uh huh.
I actually felt some heat with that.
You what?
I actually felt some heat with that when you were doing the
video. It will increase the circulation, because it's actually going to energy flow, nerve flow, circulation flow will all start to come back to the areas that you heal it. Yeah. And that's what you want, because part of the problem with scar is it cuts off all the flow of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And besides the flow of the meridians, it's the physical flow as well.
Right.
Got another one here. Okay, this one's straight across that way. Again, you're always going opposite the weak direction. And then whatever else you need to do to figure out to finish up your eight.
In a fairly small size.
Yeah, because I'm doing it on a fairly small area here, okay? Now on your heel, I did a bigger one, actually, because I was kind of covering the whole heel area there. And you could fine-tune and see if there are little teeny spots. Oh, it's this way. Or that way. Okay. One right there, okay. The other Alaska. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Jenna, I'm going to recommend that you do this because you're real good at muscle testing yourself anyway, but I'm going to recommend you do this again on your own, get emotions for anything that shows up, and recheck it again because
okay.
we'll do it more thoroughly, okay?
Yeah.
So I've checked all of these little spots in here, okay? So the next thing I do is there's another level that needs to be cleared for this.
Would you go back and check like the whole area again to see if you need to do a big eight?
Yeah, you know, I should do that because I didn't actually do that. No, we're staying with small stuff with her.
If you had gotten
then I would do
it on the big fuzzy, then
yeah.
you would assume it was the full size one,
yeah.
not the little thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, there's no real rule. Do you start with the big one, then work the small ones? Do you start with the small ones, then try the big one? I mean, it doesn't really matter a whole lot. So with a long scar, I tend to do little spots first rather than the whole thing to clean up all the little stuff. All right, so there's another area that needs to be clear. All right, so go to that level. So I'm going to go here. I've got a piece there. And down right here. Okay, so this one's up. So what I've done is I've just said there's another level, and again, you could just make up all the different levels that get cut through when you get surgery, okay?
Right.
I mean, and I just keep going through, and I'm not going to do all the levels today. That one right there. Good thing intention is more powerful than accuracy.
Oh, I know. I'm aware that
right.
should be a little
exactly.
higher than the scar, but that's
yeah. So it doesn't matter. I mean, again, I got an
yeah.
angle going down
right.
too. So, okay. So then you just keep going. There's another level. There's another level. Until it says there's another level. No,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd let that go. Okay. So those two things. So keep checking,
okay.
and check other levels as many as you get. Get emotions on each individual one, each individual spot. And then also do the scar reintegration technique with the stress release.
Okay?
Okay?
Good. Thank
yeah.
you, Robert.
Yeah,
good.
Very well. All right, so.
You call this a Tibetan healing?
Yeah, it's actually Tibetan. It's out of Tibetan energy. It's Tibetan
okay.
figure eights is what
okay.
it's called.
Tibetan
yeah.
Figure
yeah.
Is that related to chakra fibers?
No. No, I
okay.
just skipped by that for a moment.
Oh.
It's not at all.
All right.
Yeah.
Connection there that we're...
No connection. That's just odd things that didn't fit anyplace else that I liked and thought you ought to know about. So, yeah. Oh, on an incision that's not healed? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So any for a fresh incision, do your figure eights right away. Yeah, because you're just not going to do the scar reintegration technique. Yeah. But, yeah, do your figure eights right away. The other area this is really good for, and where layers helps, is range of motion. If you have somebody who's got like you know shoulder stuff going on, they got a range of motion about here. Fine, just do it. Check all around the area, you know, all the figure eights around the shoulder there. You know, go ahead check range of motion again. You usually get more, but check there's another level. Yeah, there is. Go to that level. Do it. You know, I've had people go from this to this, you know, with, you know, like about 4 or 5 minutes worth of figure eight. And it doesn't work every time, but if it comes up and or if that's an issue, you can always check figure eight. Yeah.
Can that help
a
shoulder dislocation heal?
Absolutely. Yeah, if there's a dislocation or an injury in there, that'll help it heal. If there's it's a broken bone, it's going to help it heal. And especially, again,
anything.
Doing layers. Huh?
Anything that needs healing or
yeah.
fixing.
You
yeah.
have to test with the opposite arm.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, test the opposite arm or, by the way, test yourself. And so that's something that I don't know. You know, we talked about surrogate testing, and as long as you have, like, if your toes are touching or if you're, you know, some, you know, you can fuzzy glove and test yourself. And that'll read. And it's just not as convincing for the person, but if you already know the person, I mean, you know, it's like, who cares? Just help me with it. So. But getting layers really, really helps because it's not just like there's, you know, one dimension that needs to be healed here. It affects lots of dimensions, and this actually is a way to just keep moving through those layers and getting cleared up. Yeah. Okay. So any other questions on figure eight? Anything else I want to say? Always get emotions. Do what I say, not as I do. I do when I'm in session, okay? But always get emotions. on everything.
Okay, and again, it's just the identifying from the physical
barometer.
From the barometer.
Yeah, yeah, a conscious, subconscious body, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. That's why, yeah, so whenever I say emotions, I'm talking about use the barometer and yeah, yeah. Okay, so now shock absorbers. You wanted to know about that. And here's one, oh, I know how I can do this. Okay. We have shock absorbers in all of our joints, okay? And these are like the old Monroe Maddox adjustable shocks, you know, that you could put air in and make them firmer or, you know, less firm. And so what happens is that under certain types of stresses or when certain things happen, you can visualize that the air pressure goes down in those shocks, which means essentially you have less and less shock absorption going on, which means then, of course, you have lots of jarring, you have pain, you have things like that. So shock absorbers is actually a pretty easy thing to tune up. And there are a couple of ways to test it. And Phil, do you have any shock absorbers I could work on?
I've got a couple of these here.
All right. That's good.
Some backpacking trips.
Alright, so what we're going to do first of all, yeah. So what we're going to do first of all, I'll show you how to test, and I'll show you initially, and I'm not going to put the table up, which is one of the reasons I chose you, because he's going to lay on the floor if we need to. But there are a couple ways to test, and pretty much what we're doing is we're testing the arms, testing the legs, and testing the spine. Okay? The major areas, obviously. I don't worry much about shock absorbers in the middle here. So, if I'm going to test, right now I'm doing an odd test, but hold right here for a moment. What I want you to do is I want you to hold your hand like that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just kind of pop it like that, a little shock down your arm, okay? So what I'm going to do, I've got his hand up. I'm not doing anything up here, okay? All I'm doing is getting his hand out of the way, so if I give a little pop right there, it just translates straight down his arm. Make sense? Okay? So all I do is I pop it, and I test it, and it's out. Alright? Oh, okay. So, and I don't know where it is, and I don't care where it is, by the way, which joint it is, which thing it is, it makes no difference at all. Okay? Now, the correction for this is real interesting. What you're going to do, and it's actually probably easier on a table, but it's just fine. What you're going to do, you're going to relax. I have his thumb. I'm actually going to pull his arm to stretch a little bit and rotate it out like that as he breathes. So right now I'm just going to stabilize his shoulder. So breathe in and out. I'm using the thumbs. By the way, when you do the legs, you use the big toe, okay? But I'm having him relax, so I'm not stretching into anything. I'm actually stretching his arm. So look at this now. He breathes in. I'm opening up the space. Let's just imagine that breath is all going in and filling up all those little shock absorbers. Okay.
So as you're pulling,
so
rotating,
he's breathing in.
To pull.
Yeah, I keep
I pull and
rotate as he's breathing in, and then exhale, and then breathe in, and exhale. And the arm doesn't have to come up; it just needs to go straight. So if he's laying down, I can just do it straight out to the side. Okay.
It doesn't matter if you rotate in or rotate out.
Out.
Yeah. Unwind.
Yeah.
So you can see it feels like opening up.
Opening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is not
taking it. But you're pulling for a bit of lengthening at the same time.
Yeah, I want length, because what I want is I want to open up the space between these joints, and then I get a little...
pulling pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you just pay attention. You don't want to pull their thumb out of socket. You don't want to have them be hurting. But you want a nice firm. You want nice tension on it. So you pull it to the point where you actually can feel it, but it's opening everything up. Okay? So then I can come back and I can test again. So hold here. And that's good. I can do the same thing for the other one. For the other arm, which we'll do in just a minute here. And I can... Huh?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but...
What if we test this from the spine? Use the head?
Yeah. The hole right here. Now you don't pop them on the head. You just put some pressure on there. And it's going to stretch. Well, I'm just pushing down. I'm compressing that. And we've got stress on that.
Were you just testing the spine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm pushing down on the head, which
right.
pushes to compresses the whole spine, all the way in. And I don't care, again, which one of those vertebrae the shock absorbers are out in. You know, I still want to test the whole thing, and it's all going to get cleared at one
Does
time.
Does that still work if you're on a table?
Yeah.
It doesn't have the floor to resist against stuff the other
way. Yeah, because you're just going to push down from the head again.
There's
and
enough friction from the table.
Oh, yeah, you're not pushing down that hard.
Okay.
You're just pushing down to get a little compression. You're not really leaning on it.
And then what do you pull on to do the adjustment?
Ah, I thought you'd never ask. Okay.
What do you
Breathe in. Okay, so let me do one more piece, and then I'll show you how to do that.
I had a wrestling coach, like, in fifth, sixth, seventh grade. He would, like, pick us up.
Grab your
pick
us up. I'm like, ready?
Yeah. I'll get taller, yeah. Jeez. Okay, now, I'm going to come back to this for just a minute, okay? On the legs, the deal on the legs, I mean, he's standing up. I'm going to actually have you lay down. On your back, just right here on the floor. Just lay yourself
head up here?
No, that way. No, you know what? Head there, feet there. There you go, thank you. Alright. That way, that's not even more. Good. Alright, so on the legs, it's the same kind of thing. Oh, let me do this. I know it's a long hand, but that's okay. So have this arm for me to muscle test. Like the same kind of thing again on the heel, not on the foot. A little shock there, and do this in the body. Yeah, we got some. Okay. Now, here's the deal on the legs. It's the same thing. And by the way, usually I'll test both arms and I'll test both legs, and I'll do the corrections at the same time. But I'm actually going somewhere with this.
But you're tapping the heel just like you tap the
A nice little shock that isn't painful, but it's just a nice. You know, you want to make sure it's kind of like reverberates all the way up.
Activated.
So it's kind of thumping hard enough to get it.
Yeah. So the correction on this is I have his big toe, and he's going to breathe in and out.
Are you lifting
again,
as well as pulling?
Now I'm mostly just pulling. Breathe
okay.
in.
So you're not
rotating out.
Okay.
And out.
But you're not pulling the whole leg up off the ground.
No. Breathe in. I did, but that's because of my angle. Breathe in.
Okay, but that's what I wanted to know. Is that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah. All right. Now, I can come back here now, pop that little die, test that, and that should spine. Okay. So now, let's come back. So now we still have a spine to do. We still have the stuff on this side to do. And I think I picked the right person, so we'll find out. So let me have this arm ready to test, and I'm going to that little guy, which has some stress, okay, and then, hold this here for me, I'm going to do the arm here, okay, and that has some stress as well. All right, so now, I showed you how to do each individual one, okay, we haven't done the spine, and I haven't done the other side, because what I want to show you is, to clear the spine, what you do is you do the opposite arm and the opposite leg. So what this requires is a little bit of gymnastics here, okay? So what happens here is that, you know, the arms, great, they go this way, the legs, they go this way, but to do the spine, you do the opposite arm and leg. So what it does, it will actually balance the shock absorber for that arm and for that leg, but at the same time it balances the shock absorbers for the spine.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's why I check everything first. I just wanted to show you the individual steps, but I check everything first, and then I will do the spine balancing the opposite sides together, because that will balance the arms and the leg and the spine all at once.
Yeah.
If you didn't need
you'd
the spine, you'd just...
straight to the spine.
Yeah, if all three are out, I would do that, yeah.
But
how
if the spine didn't
the
need
spine?
It, then you would just...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I answered her question incorrectly, but hang on a second here. So I would check everything. I check arms, I check leg, I check spine, and then I'll know what's out.
Okay, so you check everything first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then if the spine is out, I do the correction with opposite arm and leg on both sides because that corrects everything. If the spine is not out, then I can still do that, or I just do the arms and then the legs.
Right.
Okay?
Arms together?
Yeah. You can do arms together and legs if they're both out.
Or just whatever.
Yeah, if only one's out, you just do one, yeah. But the arms can be done together, the legs can be done together, and what's going to happen here is we're going to do arm and leg. So I have his big toe, I have his thumb. You're going to relax as much as possible. Breathe in and out. Breathe in. Breathe with him. Breathe in. Alright, now do the other side.
Do both sides. Yeah.
Yeah. To do the spine, I've got to do both sides. I mean, I do both opposite pairs.
Is this in the big book or is this one?
Big book.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Okay, so breathe in.
Just still this cross.
Yeah, you're doing the cross. Yeah.
A little confusing.
So left hand up, left leg in front, the right leg back at 90 degrees. Now, remember what I'm doing here is I'm aiming with my thumb. I'm actually, as I stretch, I rotate it out so you'll feel it all the way down the inside of your arm and here, okay? And you make sure you get that stretch in the groin here. You need to step back a little farther, you do that. Okay, so breathe in. Out. And in.
There's some stress.
And one more in. And out. All
right.
Four times each side. Yeah, that's what I like. Okay, now retest. So whichever side was out, test it again. Test it again. Test it again. Test it again. Okay?
Yep, we're all absorbed. I'm not sure when I stump my heel hurt again.
So the deal is, thank you. Yeah, and this is the problem. You got to pay attention to all these good things. So the thing is for you in terms of shock absorbers, you don't actually ever need to test them, or you can just test fine, or you know whatever. But you can just do it because the correction that we do does the spine and the arms and the legs. So, you know, you'll assume it's got corrected. And by the way, if you ever retest yourself and it wasn't corrected, you do it again and make sure that you're getting enough stretch in here so you can actually feel that stretch and that you actually can feel that stretch down the inside of the arm and the shoulder there. Okay? And usually it's going to be, yeah, you could actually take it out more. I think you can do most of it straight up. I mean, more forward, it doesn't have to go up and back. But, yeah.
You can actually get
that stretch and the rotation by going straight up.
I got it.
Thank you. All right.
Yep.
So that's shock absorbers. Have a seat. We're all resilient now.
So okay, then now we just do something on the priority list that would come up.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It's not like, well,
yeah. Well,
you would know, or what would make you even think you'd need that?
Yeah, and you know, if you want,
it shows up in your priority list.
Right,
yeah, if you're working with a high jumper or a pole vaulter or you know a long jumper or you know a hurdler or
kind of thing.
Yeah, any of those kinds of things. Because, and again, remember you get emotions because this is not just the physical bearing down on the body ought to be able to be resilient and come back. So it's just the repetitive or it's whatever it is that the emotional stuff with it or the locked in patterns that need to get released.
Okay, and it's right foot forward and right arm up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you're stretching the left groin and the right shoulder here. Yeah. So like Grant says, it feels homolateral because we're just doing this whole one side of thing, but you're really stretching opposites. So again, it's up and rotated out, or as Phil points out, it's the opening movement here. You're breathing in.
Mm.
All at once.
That's good.
Yeah, all at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. The problem with that is it's hard to get a good groin stretch without actually using
check.
That's true. I wouldn't even try that one. So, okay.
Did you see those animals in Alaska?
Yeah.
Which ones do we got?
Oh, it says
cool.
Alaska.
You
know, oh, yeah, they're right
my Alaska
here.
Socks on,
yeah.
Oh,
those are cool.
Everywhere you go.
You can get socks in a glitch.
Yeah.
All right. So the last one I have on the list, I don't know why I have it on the list, but it comes up amazingly often. Contralateral joints. Let's see if I can do this any justice, and hopefully it'll tell you a little more in the big book. Some of these, they just come up a lot, and I just do them, and I sometimes don't give them enough credit. But contralateral joints, there's a communication, energy communication from the left side of the body to the right side of the body to the left. It's not all just through the brain, but the body needs to communicate to stay coordinated. Contralateral joints, in its simplest form, the left
ankle is contralateral to the right wrist. It's on the opposite side at the opposite end of the body.
Left ankle, right wrist.
Okay? Left.
Always possible.
Yeah, left knee, right elbow. Left hip, right shoulder. Okay? So what we get is we get this, these joints, they're called contralateral joints. And remind me, I'm sure I'll remember now, but remind me contralateral spindles, because that's kind of an important
knee,
piece.
Knee, elbow.
Yeah.
And shoulder,
hip. Okay? And what's the rule on the spine? The spine could be contralateral to anything. It says something in there more intelligent to that, but pretty much it won't be a spinal thing, or if it is, it could be almost any other joint.
Or could it be like top and bottom of the spine, like centered out from the middle?
That's probably what it is. Yeah, the Lovett Brothers syndrome, that's what they call it, those things that go this way. So you have to read on that one and check it for sure. The deal with this is that sometimes you have a joint or an area of your body that's giving you lots of trouble. You've done everything in the world you can do to clear it up, and nothing happens, nothing helps. It actually is because of the relationship with the contralateral joint. Now, I'm going to tell you in ways that actually maybe make some more sense or maybe just confuse the issue, but there's another little piece called contralateral spindles. And it actually came out of this, and it was used actually very successfully. It's been used for stroke victims. Because a lot of times what happens with stroke victims, what you're doing is you're trying to strengthen the side that was weak. Well, you can do that till the cows come home, and it doesn't necessarily do any good at all because you don't have anything going on over there. And they found that if you do spindle cell work, which means pinching or spreading, of the contralateral muscles. So if I want to work with the hamstring on my left, the muscle that's contralateral, figure this by the way, is the bicep on the right, because it's the contracting muscle, okay? Mm-hmm. And so what happens is if I'm not getting any response out of this left hamstring, I can actually do spindle cell work to pinch it off or to spread it to turn it on, just to wake it up. You're probably going to spread it to turn it on. But you could do anything, just pinch it to wake it up on the contralateral muscle.
Would it be the same pinch or spread as the original knees, or would it be
the
opposite?
It would be the same as the original knees, yeah. So if
this
knee
is opposite, but the thing you're doing is the
same. So if my left hamstring needs strengthening, I would come here and I'd spread this out. And that's most, because that's what tells the bicep to strengthen, okay? So I would do whatever I think it needs there, and all I was telling you is the spindle cells, even if you do the wrong thing, it wakes the muscle up. You know, so even just pinching it all off would do something. But theoretically, if you're dealing especially with stroke, you want to spread. Okay? But what happens is that somehow opens up this miraculous little contralateral communication across the body and wakes up or speaks to that muscle in some way that we haven't been able to do by attacking that muscle or addressing that muscle directly. So there's some contralateral relationship. And the best I can make up, because I never really understood it, because I never had anybody who knew it better than I did and who could make it make sense to me, but the best I can make up is that the contralateral relationship is an integral part of us literally staying physically balanced. Okay? The top, back, bottom, left, right, pitch, roll, yaw kind of a things, okay? Those contralateral joints and muscles have to have some kind of communication relationship to keep us stable. And so we're actually calling upon those to wake up an area that's not willing to wake up on its own. Now if we go back to contralateral joints, so that's contralateral muscles, okay? And again, mostly I've seen that used or had that, I've seen that applied in the area of stroke or paralysis or some kind of a physical limitation that would prevent that muscle from responding, okay? My guess is you could use your imagination and use it in lots of other ways, or if you have persistent muscle problems that aren't responding or something like that.
So if you want to strengthen, just
spread out those spindle cells.
Why is that?
Because the spindle cells in the belly of the muscle The spindle cells, when they're spread out, tells the brain, hey, tighten up, you're getting too loose here. And that makes it strong.
Your muscles begin to bounce and you pinch it and you completely spread it. Same thing.
Yeah. So that's the spindle cell technique. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, so you would spread it out because that's the message to tighten up, to close up, to strengthen, to get more muscle tone. If it looks too loose and flappy.
What's wrong with paralysis?
No, what if that works right here?
Yeah, it could. Which,
yeah.
Yeah, which case? Go ahead.
Like if someone has like MS or something, and it's just going blasted, or it could be spastic.
Yeah, yeah. So Phil is bringing up a lot of circumstances where you might not necessarily want to assume that you're going to spread it out. Because sometimes you have this rigidity because it's just too fixed and tight. So
right.
It's not a stroke kind of a thing, which
like
is a
Parkinson's
weakness, but a Parkinson's or a MS or a, you know, whatever they call those other things that frees up those muscles, dystonia, those kind of things. So, in those cases, you would actually pinch that muscle. And what I want to remind you is even if you do the wrong thing on a good muscle, the body will wake up and it'll do the right thing anyhow. I mean, it's like you... It's wake it up and the message still gets through.
Yeah.
So, but it would be very nice to be a little more accurate if you know enough to be accurate. So if the muscle is really just rigid and locked because of muscle overtension and you're not getting any response by turning off the muscles on this side, then come over on the contralateral and turn those muscles off and see if that doesn't help some. Okay?
How often would you do this?
If it works, you do it as often as you can do it. If it starts to tighten up, you start doing it again right away. I mean, and it's something that a lot of times people can do for themselves unless that hand is the thing that's not doing it. And again, you get emotions on it always, always, always. But even if you just worked on it, you know, anytime you saw the person, you know, just did it and got an emotion on it, it's gonna have a progressive effect. None of these, for those kinds of circumstances, are going to be an instant cure. It's not going to just go, oh, I'm awake, you know, and everything is just fine. So it's going to be a progressive, you're going to do it, you know, on a repetitive basis. So one of the things I'll say, you know, not to overdo it, like every 5 minutes, but frequency is much better than duration. So doing a short amount more frequently is going to be much better because you're sending repetitive messages and it's the wake-up call. It keeps coming and it'll help regenerate those nerve flows. Because with a stroke, you've got to find new neural pathways, new communication methods. And so we're just opening the door to having those begin to get established. So repetition is important.
So if you're trying to... Would you be doing like circuit locating to figure out where and the pinching or spreading which one to do?
Pretty much it ought to be obvious where it is, but yeah, if like you have the whole side you're dealing with and where do I start and what do I work with, you bet. Then you could prioritize and you could circuit locate and find out.
Like would you go pinch weak, spread strong, and then do it up here, or would you like be checking on the second spot?
Yeah, so what he's saying, what he's saying is if you're going to pinch and spread and see which one makes it stronger, you know, if you say, I'll go back to my hamstring here. Okay, I'm working on this hamstring, it's totally unresponsive. I can still muscle test, the muscle test is weak. If I pinch that, even though it's unresponsive, it might go strong, or if I spread it, it might go strong. If I find something to make it strong, that's what I do on the other side.
So you find it there and then you go and
do it on the other side. Now, a lot of times you're going to get no response over here. I mean, nothing will look like it's working because there's no way for that feedback to get in there.
Okay.
In which case, what you're going to do is you're going to actually put this weakness in circuit and you'll pinch or spread on the opposite side.
Okay.
So you got a weak in circuit and you'll pinch or spread on the opposite side to see what makes that circuit stronger. Okay?
Is there a list or reference where you can do the contralateral on muscles?
No. No, you're just going to have to kind of figure it out. And just remember...
Hold them on top of each other and it looks the same.
Yeah.
Well, and the way you have to remember is, like, the quads is really an extender. The tricep's an extender.
Oh, okay. So
hamstring
might be here.
Yeah, yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah,
so your hamstring,
bicep.
Yeah, the hamstring
how
is your contractor, and the hamstring's the contractor here.
Glutes. I know. So
that's,
what would be
that's probably your pecs, right?
Your glutes.
Hips, the shoulders, pecs. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
muscles is the glutes
your
that go to your pecs, not your shoulders, but to here. Because you got the back.
Okay, thank you.
Levels like your abdominals lowers and your upper abs, and when
yeah.
you step, would just be the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, and
actually, well, you can probably go from abs to like back muscles.
That's
if
what you're
it's
going to end
muscles.
Up doing. It'll
oh,
be
okay.
contralateral. It'll be inside back
got
side.
It.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Quads
are
going
to be your triceps.
Quads to be your triceps. You bet, because
mm-hmm.
they're the extenders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have
to
turn over.
Yeah. Right. See, makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Now, where I started this whole mess was contralateral joints. And contralateral joints is where you've done everything you can do working on a particular joint, which is where it's easier to identify, by the way, because you've got ankles, knees, hips, you know. And a lot of times I just ask people, you have problem, any problems with, you know, anything.
No problem.
No problems. Okay, great. But somebody says, yeah, you know, my left knee's just giving me all kinds of trouble. The deal here, this is the kind of tricky part, you've got to find some way to actually get a strong indicator muscle off of this left knee. Okay? Or, nah, you don't have to. I take it back. Don't write that down, Jody. If there's anything you know, if there's any muscles around there, I mean, if you do like some of the 14 muscles and you balance those and all of that and the knee's still giving them trouble, you can take your weak knee, put it in circuit. So just circuit locate. Find the spot. It's weak.
Uh-huh.
Put it in circuit.
Uh-huh.
Now go over and find where on the opposite arm does that make it stronger. Now, that I already
point
know
right
if
now.
It's the knee, it's the elbow. Huh?
You mean just circuit locate points at the stage?
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much. I know if it's the outside of my knee, then it's the inside of my.
You're
no, it's the outside.
Right.
Yeah,
no.
I can do that. But if it's knee, let's just keep it easy. It's knee, it's weak. I put the knee in circuit. I go over here. Here's the way I know if contralateral joints will work. I don't have to find the exact spot. I just want to know, does circuit locating that elbow make this circuit stronger? In other words, is this elbow connected to this knee?
Mm-hmm. So then,
okay.
With your
strong.
Hand on the elbow.
Yeah. All right. So. Does that make sense?
So you're just testing it while you're in circuit.
Yeah,
it'll work.
Because what I've got is I've got here, I've got a weak knee. I put it in circuit, and I want to know if connecting it to this elbow, connecting that energy to that elbow, will make it strong. Okay? So I'm just trying to find out, does this connection have anything to do with this weakness? If it doesn't make it strong, then it is not a contralateral joint.
Okay?
Okay? I mean, it's a contralateral joint, but it's not a contralateral joint problem.
Right.
It's not going to be fixed with contralateral joints.
How do you know if it's a joint or a muscle thing? Because my knee has been bugging me
mm-hmm.
for a few days. I can tell it's like it's the bit of the muscle right here
yeah.
that's just totally just crapping out on me on the stairs and whatever.
Yeah. So what you end up doing is you end up trying it. If it circuit locates weak and then you come over here and it gets strong, then you'll do the correction. And if that doesn't work for the joints, then you can work with muscles individually.
Okay.
Okay?
So circular. So he's got his weak knee. I touch his knee, two fingers, it goes weak.
Yeah, as it's going weak, you put it in circuit.
As it goes weak, I put it in circuit.
Yeah, now anytime you test him, it's weak.
It's just going to be weak.
Yeah, so
now you find what makes it strong.
Now I'm going to touch, it might be his test arm though.
So you test the other arm, or touch the test arm, doesn't matter.
So then I touch the spot, and it should test.
Right, if there's a contralateral joint. Yes, exactly right.
Okay.
Okay. Now I know we have contralateral joints. There are a lot of different ways to do contralateral joints to actually open up the communication, but the really easiest, is one hand on one joint, the other hand on the other joint, and for just a little bit, what you do is you like squeeze it or pump it or palpate it. It's like you wake up one of the joints. You're holding one of them softly. You're sending pulses, messages from this one. Your other hand's being like a magnet or a grounding rod to get the messages over here. And
so
then...
So you're working the contralateral one, sending it to the original one.
Yeah. But then what you're going to do is you're going to reverse that process. I found, and a lot of people don't do this, but I found that it actually helps to make sure it's a two-way communication. So then you hold the contralateral one and you work or pulsate or pump the weak one, the one that was giving you trouble.
So you're not actually flexing the joint, you're just sort of rubbing around it.
Yes.
And how can you tell if these are affecting one another? When do you test to see if they
work? I know they're affecting one another because I tested this. It was weak. I put it in circuit.
Oh, okay.
I touched here. It made it strong, so I know we've got it.
Okay.
I now have my 2 points, and I'm holding one while I kind of pump, pulsate, whatever, the other one, and then I hold that one while I pump or pulsate that one. And it's not an exact science. You're just waking up the joint. So you could squeeze the joint. You could push on the joint. You could do whatever you want to do to kind of move some energy. So what you're doing now is you're just kind of sending pulses of energy somewhere, and your other hand is like a grounding rod that'll pull it across because that's where it naturally wants to go.
So we can do this on the person, or they can do it on themselves.
Exactly right. You can do it on yourself, too, because you can hold one side and,
yeah,
and work the other side. And Graham's question is, what if it's not the joint? What if it's the muscles? So he's done this. He found out there's a contralateral relationship. He's done this, you know, right elbow, left knee, you know, then left knee, right elbow, you know, and he tests this knee thing again and is still weak, then it's not contralateral joint. There's a muscle involved. So then he gets to find a muscle spot, put it in circuit, and then find another muscle spot that'll make that stronger. Okay? And then you can find out you know, pinch, spread, however you want to do that. Oh, yeah, it's true. All right, so a little convoluted, but pretty much what's going to happen is when this comes up, if it comes up on your list, you're probably going to look at contralateral joints. That's what's actually on the list. It doesn't say contralateral spindles. I just got carried away and wanted you to know about that, and it actually helps to make some more sense of it, I think. But if contralateral joints comes up, you want to just find out, is there some joint, some major joint in their body that's giving them trouble? And they go, oh, yeah, I mean, it's my left shoulder for sure. Okay, great. So you test left shoulder. Sure enough, it's weak. Put it in circuit. Okay, let's just check the right hip here. Oh, yeah, that makes it stronger. Terrific. Let's get the emotion, and then we'll do our correction. Okay? And maybe there's actually something better written in the book, so do find these things in the big book, because as I say, right now there's more I've forgotten than what I remember. So, but at any rate, that's contralateral joints and spindles, and again, remember emotions on everything, because that really makes a big, big difference. All right, so that's the stuff on the list. Yeah. So let me see if you guys have any questions. And I know there'll be lots more and all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, email me, call me. I mean, probably email is the best, and then we can set up a time to call or meet or something like that if you want to do that. You know, just let me know. And I'll do the best I can do to support you with figuring out what you need to figure out. But that's mostly, it's going to be just pick the pieces. What I told Janet during break, you know, because she spent a lot of time with Touch for Health, did it really well, and she now has a couple of techniques from Touch for Health that she uses all the time. You know, and then her comment, if I can say, well, now I have to go back and I have to learn all these things and, you know, figure out. And the truth is, one thing.
Yeah.
Pick up one piece. Say, you know what, I just want to work this into my routine. So pick up anything on that list that you really like or think you would like and begin using it a lot until it's just like taking a breath. It's just natural. And then you say, okay, great, now time to add one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
To try to do this lump sum wholesale is totally overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, to try to do this over 5 weeks, you know, is still overwhelming to try and do it all at once. So don't.
Yeah.
You know, this is meant just to say, understand, here's the layout, the groundwork, here are a lot of pieces of information. Where do you want to start? Just pick it and go from there. Okay. Yeah. So questions? things left lingering right now.
This is kind of a not that great. Well,
it works.
I know. You know how some people like startle, have like a really strong startle response?
Yeah.
I mean, does that relate to the hypothalamic fight or flight thing?
It
or
can.
Or could it, or could it be who knows what? And is there anything that could be done to somehow calm that startle response down? Because it's kind of intense.
Yeah. So first of all, it is a stress response. It is a fight-flight response. So a habitual half dozen, you know, just from a prescriptive point of view, is like it just needs to be part of the daily routine, you know, two or three times a day minimum, and do that. The second piece is that you can do some stress release from time to time. And the third thing is that you can actually go at it from the hypothalamic fight-flight response and rebalance the hypothalamus, because you definitely have a hair trigger response to that, and you want something, and you could just do with the fight flight emotions and do them, or you could actually do the whole scale and reset, and you want something that's a little less reactive. You want something that's a little lower on the scale. You know, yeah, I'm still alive, but I'm not jumping out of my skin with every little thing. So. So I would try a reset on that. I mean, I would do the fight flight emotions, but then I would actually see if it's appropriate to reset the startle response.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good.
Would that also tie into the post traumatic stress? Or is that probably a whole nother?
Post traumatic stress is really much more an emotional stress release for the past kind of a thing, and yes, it does. They go together, but you have a whole component of. They have something very specific. With a startle response, there's nothing specific.
In general.
So with post-traumatic stress, what you really have to do, I mean, besides working on the overall stress level now, you've got to do some real emotional work. It doesn't mean it has to be emotive emotional work, but you need to do lots of balancing work to clear the emotional residue. And again, you're still focusing on how would you rather experience life, you know? I just don't want to be, you know, falling apart every 10 minutes. I don't want to be going off at the least little backfire. I don't want to, you know, great. And so when you're not, how do you imagine your life's going to be? Or how was your life before that? Or how do you want your life? And get yourself a good goal. But what you're going to end up doing is picking apart all of those pieces. And absolutely essential is get emotions on every teeny little piece. Not for them to do anything with, but just notice, let go, notice, let go. And at the end of every balancing, you just get layers of emotions to see if there's anything left over. In other words, you check your goal, you check the emotion, then you run through and just check conscious, subconscious body and notice anything else. For that, I do a little stress release just so it looks like you're doing something to erase it. And then do another layer, then another layer, if there are any more. And that's something, by the way, where it's helpful. There's another piece we talked about in relationship to something else. But it's a good thing for that kind of a situation or any, quote, heavy-duty balancing work that you're doing, okay? Just to check at the end of the balancing with the statement, there is some stress on doing this process. There's some leftover stress, so some residual stress from doing this process. If it says yes, then you want to definitely get emotions. You could assess the level of stress, you know, 0 to 100, and use that as a barometer to work your way back down. But you want to just do layers of emotions and do stress release and do whatever else you need to do to bring it down to release the leftover stress. Because sometimes, you know, hey, I feel really good, this is great, but, you know, I'm still kind of like, you know, wired from all, you know, because I, you know, it triggers some little alert things maybe. So that's where just clearing a couple more emotions, it'll tell you for sure you want to do that. And you can get the stress down to manageable levels, like under 10. Okay? And by the way, if you need to, and you've done all emotions and they're clear, they're still stress level, do the habitual half dozen. I mean, just do it right there with them. So, and I'm talking now about extreme. I'm talking about post-traumatic stress because she brought that up. You can do this for anybody on any session, is to see, you know, make the statement there's some residual stress from doing this process. Yes or no. If there is yes, then you just do some emotions. But I'm actually giving her kind of a post-balancing because that avoids really any pitfalls. Okay. Good question. Any other questions?
Oh, I have a comment.
Yeah.
I meant to bring in my Lucia book.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I had it on the fireplace. I was going to bring it in. I was waiting till you came. Oh, you brought it. Oh, good. it has, well, I wanted to ask you because it has eight as opposed to five colors.
Okay,
and
just use the five.
Okay, just pick the
use
five.
So the conflict resolution thing was specifically designed for five of those colors.
Five of those colors, yeah. I'm sorry,
so
and I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't mean to ask about that, too. It's like,
okay.
Can I look up in the book somewhere, like, what's right on the back of the other cards?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, that was just that was an application of those that they did further research, and it came out of actually Loser's research in putting all of this together. But I'd forgotten, so thanks for reminding me that there
yeah.
were actually are eight cards, and we're only going to use five of those. Yeah.
I remember using those.
Yeah, you know.
Decades ago.
Yeah, you put down which order. Yeah.
This is like 1969 or something.
Yeah,
this is
amazing.
Decades ago. I remember seeing being so intrigued.
Powell.com.
Wow, how does this
and,
do this?
And
this
there are people
really
selling used ones on Amazon too. So just make sure to ask if they have the cards still.
Yeah.
Some of them
what was the first one you said? Powell?
Powell.com.
I've never heard of that.
It's
in Portland?
It's like it's like the City of Books is its nickname. It's a used bookstore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Alibra? That's really hard to find out of print. Alibra.
Sell it?
A-L-I-B-R-I-S.
Oh, A-Libris.
Oh,
A-L-I-B-R-I-S. Yeah, it is.
It's like book, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
A-L-I-B-R-I-S.
A-Libris. Yeah.
I think they're in everything.
Are they?
Really?
I have some things I might check up there.
Hard to find stuff. That's a good one.
Silly question.
Yeah.
Something funny, like an eye that twitches.
Uh-huh. Get emotions on it.
Any place in particular to go with it, or
get emotions?
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, even an eye that twitches, sometimes you can actually pinch your eyelid,
mm-hmm.
Or some of the muscles around there and see it. But essentially, just getting the emotions and then getting on with your life, or doing the habitual half dozen, because it is a stress response. If it's all the time, it could be nutritional. Or it could be an underlying issue, stress issue, that needs to get really balanced well. But just occasional, it's irritating as heck, and sometimes I actually just pinch around up there, you know. But getting an emotion is always helpful. Yeah. Hymns would be damned.
It's
a moth.
Oh, it's a moth?
No, it's a moth. It's over here.
Okay, I know that's fine.
It's a little baby moth,
a mosquito, I kill them.
Yeah.
I do.
All right.
I didn't hear anything you just said.
any other questions?
It's
a nice to work with a group. I'm
uh-huh.
thinking of a couple, but you've done this more. When you think about working with a group in a session to, you know, like this one that we just did, it would be really nice.
Yeah.
What others can you think of with a group would be nice?
Well, the
recharging, shifting energy.
Yeah, the whole habitual half dozen. We do that with groups all the time.
Okay.
I mean, every conference we go to, every workshop we do, we end up doing that.
Okay.
There are some of the other brain gym exercises mm-hmm. that can be done with a group, or a couple other things
brain
on the Waker's Dozen, which has a whole other backside there.
We did brain gym. Yeah, because it's on the list. I meant to ask.
We didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
The brain balance. We didn't do the
brain gym balance.
Oh.
When I wrote.
Yeah,
I could find it.
Brain balance is on the list. Brain gym is not actually.
It's on the other list.
Yeah.
It's on this list.
Okay. Yep.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the training.
It's in your small book, and there actually are.
Oh, it is in the small book.
Yeah. It's
book.
In the it's in
yeah.
the it's in the workbook. You know, small book. Yeah.
Okay.
And it really goes through testing all of the visual, auricular. Those kind of
that
it goes through those.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did the ears.
And
yeah,
the,
we've done
the,
all we've done all
the
little pieces.
There's a whole lot of other things.
Yeah,
a lot of other
reasons.
Yeah. So there's it goes through a whole bunch of those pieces, And you can actually use that as a whole balancing. You know, have a goal, test those things, correct those things, you know, clear your goal and go on. I mean, so, but yeah, they're all laid out in there. We've done lots of little pieces of it at various times, and so I apologize for not actually going through it in detail, but it's there, yeah. So the brain gym kinds of exercises, those will work. The sound balance we talked about today, that works. That's a nice energetic piece. Those are probably, you know, probably a lot of the individual ones. Again, the Waker's dozen, the habitual half dozen, the brain gym things, those are all good. Because you can pick and choose.
It's hard for the group.
Yeah, you're not going to test. Yeah.
Yeah,
you just want to do them. And when I do them, I always talk, I mean, the habitual half dozen, I'll tell them what they do as they go through. But the brain gym ones, you know, hey, this is really good, you know, for, you know, receiving. Anybody have trouble receiving, you know, time, energy, love, attention, money, you know, like that, and it gets people involved with it, okay? And visuals, you want to expand your vision, you know, and all of that, or integrate your visual input with what's already in there. You know, you can be as fun and technical or lazy as you want to be, but those are the easiest because you can kind of pick and choose and wait till people's energy comes up and then go on. So you can do one, two, three, or a dozen of them depending on what you need or what you want. Yeah, he's doing it.
He's got it going on.
Hi. Any other questions, silly or otherwise?
I've actually worked with a lot of teachers and worked with my son and kids on that quote ADD thing, the brain gym stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The whole classroom as well with individual kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so much with brain gym for ADD stuff. It's just, you know, because it helps you really look at how we're wired differently and how to maximize, you know, what the wiring does within us.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other area. There's a whole learning and memory workshop in there. And so if you want to do some of that stuff sometime, let me know. You can look at that, and I'll help answer any questions you want. So, yeah. It looks at things like dominance, you know, because we have different dominant hemispheres with different dominant hands. And do our dominant hands, legs, eyes, ears hook up to our dominant hemisphere? Or is it cross dominance or mixed dominance, you know, which creates all kinds of different problems. So those are fun guys. Alrighty, so I'm thanking you guys for being the excuse to do this. And also for being willing to do this. And I want to let you know, I mean, if you never balanced another person in your life and you just did a few things for yourself, it'd all be totally worth it. I mean, that's what it's all about. Balancing other people is a great excuse to keep us connected with it, and it keeps us learning and healing at the same time. But this is really about just finding some piece or pieces of this that you're willing to use in your life. Because I value all of you guys and what you do and what you're doing and the difference you're making in the world. My world, but in the world, and any way that I can support that or celebrate that expanding and being easier, I'm up for. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
And I will be good about getting this on.